This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last, so don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Gonna pop in here for a couple minutes. I can say hello to you, Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here, and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, really idols.
Super Bowl champion.
These guys, it's tough to get any, you can see it's tough to get any serious work done here, but.
Football analyst for NBC Sports and the Marquee Network.
We should talk to Wani this week because I got a FaceTime from him last night with Mitch on his patio. Mitch in his party white shorts and his sandals.
Nothing bad.
No, Shane. Shane, it's all good. All good. Definitely a little toasty.
Well, let's talk to Wani because Jimmy mentioned him in his farewell.
Probably the most fun I've ever had in my career. It has been a great run. I can tell you the story, and Dave Wonstadt and Tony Wise, they can verify this. When I was at Oklahoma State University, I went to a little restaurant, and we were struggling. I said, guys, hang with me. We're going to win a national championship.
With no Jimmy, they need a coach.
Yes.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
He's busy.
I mean,
he's busy with us.
He's worked with Fox before.
Keep that man away from this.
Form is something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care.
I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock right here at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. It is 670 The Score. We've been at this place so many times, Mark Grody. Mark Grody's in for Lawrence Holmes. Lawrence is at Rick Camp's wedding, which frankly we all wish we were at. But if we were at Rick Camp's wedding, we wouldn't get to talk to our guy Dave Wonstadt, who joins us right now on the Circa Sports Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app now, and we're here because of Circa. If you're here at Real Time Sports, go over to the table and download the app with them, and they will hook you up with some gear, some really cool Circa gear over there. What do you say, Coach? Good afternoon. How are you?
What's happening, Spigs? Mark? No, everything is good down here in sunny Florida. Starting to gear up a little bit for the draft. Not too much at this point, but all's good. All's good. Very, very blessed to be here and enjoying some time away,
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, I don't think we've talked to you since a few different things have happened, and maybe I missed it, but I haven't talked to you since Jimmy Johnson stepped away. I gotta assume that Jimmy told you guys, the inner circle, when you all were all gathered on the keys, did Jimmy tell all of you guys, Coach, before he went on, before the news broke later on?
Yeah, he did talk about it then in depth a little bit with everybody. But, I had talked with Jimmy numerous times as the season was winding down. So I kind of knew that it was happening. And, it's been talked about for a couple of years. I don't think anybody was really shocked, but no, he had his run, as he said, and had a lot of fun with it. And, it's a long trip now, when you're flying commercial from Miami to L.A., and he just had enough. I mean, as he said, you know what, it's not fun anymore. It's become a job, and I don't need to be working a job at this point in my life.
Well, good for him, and I've always thought of just following his career, Jimmy's, from afar, obviously, from very far away. He has always done things his way, and it looks like the man certainly went out on his own terms, so it's par for the course. But, Dave, if we haven't even talked to you about Jimmy Johnson, then maybe we haven't even talked to, I guess just Spiegel and I, just speaking for ourselves, I haven't heard you talk or give your opinions on what the Bears have done so far in this offseason. There's so much that they have done, so I'll try to narrow it down a little bit. I guess I'll start with the offensive line and the additions of Drew Dahlman, Joe Tooney, and Jordan Jackson. Are you surprised that they got all three of those guys?
To some degree, yes. Just from the standpoint that, these guys were people that everybody knew about. These were people that everybody, that anyone that was looking for an offensive lineman would have liked to had on their team. And, you know, you got to give Ryan Poles credit now. I mean, you know, you don't make something like, and I've been involved with dozens of these type of deals with different positions over all the years, and it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it's back and forth, and the agent's taking it out and shopping it, and then he's coming back to you, and the kid wants it, and then, well, I don't know about this. He's got questions. And then you're going to get a coach, and it's back and forth, and it can be days, it can be weeks, it can be months when these things can drag on before you get the signatures on it. So for the Bears, and I'm going to give it the credit to Ryan Poles, you know, when he sat down, obviously, when they got, you know, when they signed the contract up and Ben was the coach, and they sat down and said, what do we need? This is where we're at. And he says, hey, this is a priority. Tell you what, they went out and got it done, and George McCaskey is spending the money. I mean, you know, they are spending it, and that gives you a chance. When you have it and you spend it, and you spend it on the right players, obviously that's the key to having success. And I love all these guys. You know, they're obviously the guards, but last year I sat right there, probably where you're sitting, Mark, during the draft, myself and Pat Manley, and I made the statement. They said, who would you take? And I said, I would take the Johnson kid, out of Oregon, the center, or I would take the Frazier kid out of West Virginia. I said, I would take an offensive center in the first round. I said that last year. Because if you look at it, and I was just in a call with Mike Gettings, who handles, I think it's Pro Scout, I don't know if it's Pro Scout or what the name of his service is, but he works with about half the NFL teams, and he tracks everything, guys. And over the last years, the one position that showed up being a blue player by Super Bowl winners was the guys that had the center position. And, left tackle was not a priority. There had not been a Super Bowl winning team that had a blue left tackle in 10 years. By that, I mean, by I say blue, that means playing at a blue level. That's not your college grade or because you were a number one draft pick. He looks at the film, every play of every game, and gives you a grade. And if you know, so the left tackle playing at a blue level has not been a real prerequisite for a team winning a Super Bowl. Center has been.
Wow.
And I like the Dalton kid because why? He's athletic, he's smart, and in the scheme of offense that Ben Johnson runs, this zone scheme, I'm assuming he's going to do the same thing. Your center. You know, there's guys lined up on the guards in the 4-3. And, yeah, the guard's going to slow them up a little bit. But your center needs to be athletic enough to snap the ball and get himself in position to make that block. So you got to have Olin Krutz-type quickness and technique to be able to master that. And that's what Dalton does. So I really liked what they've done so far.
So if that is the case, Dave, then, and you didn't say it, but you kind of said it, if theoretically that's the way teams are winning with strong centers and it doesn't necessarily have to be the left tackle, Braxton Jones stays with the Bears. He's your left tackle. They can move forward with him now that they've solidified the center position and, to a different degree, the two guard spots.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Now, if they can draft a real talented kid, you know, you're always trying to get better. But that wouldn't be a priority right now. It's defensive line. If anybody thought, and let me just say this, from the Super Bowl, because I don't know how many times I've been on with you guys or not, if I said it. If anybody watched that Super Bowl game with any common sense, and you said to yourself, if I got a chance to get a great defensive lineman or a great offensive lineman, who might take it? If you don't say defensive lineman, then you didn't watch that game very close. I mean, you know, that was domination by four guys, not five, not six, not seven, four guys coming after Patrick Mahomes, athletic, and it was a domination. So against a very, very good, in my opinion, obviously, offensive line in Kansas City, guys that know what they're doing, Super Bowl-type team. So, you know, you can't ever get enough of those guys. And so, you know, I'm still always looking for defensive linemen, if that's your question, you know.
No, I love it. I love that idea of fortifying that with, you know, with Grady Jarrett being there, with Dio Dangbo being there. Like that, I mean, another defensive lineman will look real nice.
Let's get an edge rusher. Let's get a young edge rusher, and Dio can help out.
Speak.
Yes.
Slow down a second. Okay?
No. I have thoughts, Wani. I have thoughts, and I'm going to spit them out with incredible quickness.
You're giving me you're generating thoughts here in my mind as I'm getting ready to go fix a bourbon. But I'm here's the deal. This defense is different than Eberflus's defense. Dennis Allen, okay, and Matt Eberflus's defense was closer to what I did and what we did at Dallas and Miami and Chicago, and with the Tampa Bay Bucks. You guys have heard me say that. His defense was a combination of those two things. Okay, with that being said, you play multiple coverages, but you got to have four dominant guys up front. Dennis Allen's defense is different. He's a lot more pressure. Linebackers, safeties, nickels. So with that, you don't need to have – everybody would like to have the Richard Dent. Don't get me wrong. But you don't have to have the Richard Dent – or Dan Hampton,
right?
You can have, you know, Dexter and the guys that we have, the guys that we've added, these guys will be outstanding. You got to have fast, athletic guys because you're bringing more guys. And now they don't have to beat two guys to get to the quarterback. Everybody's going to be pretty much one-on-one in blitzes in any defense. And now you got to get guys that can run them down and make plays. So it's a little philosophy change. So I like the guys we got. Hey, let's maybe add another one. But here's the position that we can't lose sight of. Because a position that you have to be strong in Dennis Allen's defense, in any pressure defense, is you got to be able to cover. And we got coverage, guys. But I'll tell you what. Yes, we feel good about Jalen. We feel good about Gordon. We feel good about the safety position. Could always use another safety. Say maybe Brisker, we don't know where he's at. But I tell you what, I love Terrell Smith. And my man from the U, Stevenson, makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. Makes me nervous. So if there was a top corner there and a few of these contracts are beginning, you know, Gordon's going to be coming up. Uh-huh. I almost would look at this thing if you had any choice of a top guy, I'm not so sure at a top corner – wouldn't really make an impact on this team.
Wow.
That's great stuff, Coach. And stuff
because of what I said, you know.
Yep. Yeah, that's good.
I will say this, that Dennis Allen historically has gotten very good performance and good careers out of corners taken lower in the draft, which I find intriguing. So, like, he's a real good coacher of corners, and maybe because he asks his defense – to cover nice and tight. When you're pressuring like crazy, You want those corners to cover tight, don't you, when you're bringing exotic pressures?
Most of the time. Most of the time, yeah, sure. And okay. And it's, you don't have to cover them as long. You don't have to cover them as long. You know what I mean? It's a 1-2, 1-2-3. I mean, if you're bringing pressure, you know, the average ball is going to be out in 3 seconds or less.
Yeah.
So you're talking about 3 seconds, guys. You better be able to cover somebody for 3 seconds.
Hey, Coach, I realized yesterday that it took me way too damn long to learn a basic lesson in football. And Spice Adams was talking to Lawrence on his podcast, House of L, which people can go and find on YouTube, House of L, find Lawrence Holmes and Spice Adams. And we played a chunk about the Bears, and Spice was talking about the linemen that they acquired, including Grady Jarrett. And he was talking about the O-line and the D-line, and he said, it's kind of like when you're building a house. That's the foundation, man. It's the foundation. And if the foundation isn't there, then it doesn't matter what else you do. And I realized, you know, all these years that I've been, and even just last year, getting caught up with fancy wide receivers and thinking about the quarterback as the great deodorant, the O-line and the D-line are the freaking foundation, aren't they, Coach? And, like, why the hell did it take me so long to learn this? Please help me out with this one.
All I can say is, where's Spiggs? You know?
Where was he? Where's he been? He's here.
I probably talked about this, Shane, when Spiggs, when we were saying, where's Spiggs? No. No, that's a good point. And I tell you what, you know, that's what's a little bit confusing to me. Last year, did Shane Waldron have that much influence on Ryan Poles? Did Caleb Williams, drafting him, have so much influence that we got to get receivers and that was a priority? Tight end, you know, I'm not sure, but there definitely has been a philosophy switch. And we said this halfway through the season. I was beating myself over the head talking about this on TV and radio, saying, the first thing you do when you're going to put the game plan in, you walk in and say, can we block these guys? And what can we do from an upfront standpoint? And then you add your running plays and you add your passing plays. You don't go to a drop back scheme if you can't block them, you know. So everything has to start up front. And I really thought that our offensive line didn't have much of a chance last year, you know, because that was not the case. We're in shotgun. We're not up under center very often, on and on and on. And it was backwards for a lot of different reasons. And what they've done so far leads me to believe that that we're having a major, major philosophy shift. And you can see that. Watching what Ben Johnson did at Detroit the last couple of years, they're going to be up under center a lot. They're going to be running the ball a lot. They're going to be play action pass. And then, obviously, when they have to drop back in the gun and throw it, they will. But that's right in my that offensive style is right in my wheelhouse. And we talked a long time when we were down at Jimmy's a couple of weeks ago. We were out in a boat, and we got into a discussion about this because I had Troy on the show, and if you remember Spiggs, and Troy was talking about under center versus not under center. And then we got Tony involved from a line protection standpoint. And so I'm excited. I really think that and it gives your defense a better chance to win. And if we can run the ball, God, and they're talking about the Ashton Gentry kid from Boise. Take him. I mean, if he's that type of player
at 10,
take him.
Would you do it at 10?
I'd do it. Why not?
Okay, no, I mean, you were just so into the defense, so I was like, okay. But no, I'm with you, Coach.
Hey, Coach, we got to ask you about the news of the day because we're out here at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village, and you've been out here with the Score before. You were here on our 30th anniversary. It was a thrill to have you here.
I got a shirt that didn't fit me, but go ahead. Anyway.
That ain't right,
Coach. Shane gave me a shirt that was like a – medium or something. I don't know.
I think that's just your off-season Naples diet. You're letting it go a little bit too much.
Coach, Dan Bernstein is no longer working here. That news broke today. And I know that you go back with Bernsey as a Bears reporter and obviously as a host. So wanted to give you a chance to talk about him and talk about that a little bit.
Oh, I don't have any comment. I mean, I really don't. Bernsey and I were never close. We were never really on the same page. It's a tough thing for him, for anybody to lose their job. I'll go with that. But as far as working with or together, I got no comment.
Understood, Coach. Sorry to put you in a spot. Didn't mean to. You are the best. Thank you so much for everything. Say hey to Jan. We love you. And you make our days better. You make our shows better around here. Okay, Coach?
I'll be up for that last week of April doing a bunch of draft stuff. So we'll definitely get together.
We'll love it. We'll love it. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate you.
All right, speak. See you, Mark.
See you, Dave.
That's Dave Wanstead right here on 670 The Score.
He elicits all responses. That's what we said about Dan Bernstein.
Yeah, it's true.
He elicits everything. That's why he is who he is.
Yep. We're going to come back and let you hear how we started the show about that news of the day. We thought that we would bring that to you because it was honest, processing in real time, and you deserve that. You, the Score listener, deserve our honest processing in real time, warts and all. So that's what you'll get next on 670 The Score.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.